Could political stability in Thailand bring more economic growth?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now to the global perspective, what's happening in business at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. Financial markets in Southeast Asia's second largest economy have welcomed news of a new administration. Thailand is set to have its first female prime minister, Yingluck Shinawatra. Thailand's stock market jumped more than 4% on that news, and its currency rose today as well. That comes years after political unrest there made foreign investors pretty wary. The BBC's Karishma Vaswani is with us now from Bangkok with the latest. Good morning, Karishma.
Good morning.
Is this new administration business-friendly? Was the economy a part of the election success for her?
Yeah, it was really a part of the election success. I mean, in so much as the fact that she kept talking about the fact that she wanted to raise minimum wage. And so that, I think, really went down well with ordinary Thai people who've been feeling, you know, their pockets quite squeezed by the higher food prices. The problem, of course, is that if you have higher salaries, businesses then find it really difficult to operate. So some businesses have already expressed concerns that these higher salaries could mean they won't be able to have as many people on their staff as they used to.
I know Thailand has had a number of coups in the past 80, 90 years. Has that political instability stunted economic development there?
I think so. I think over the last few years, certainly, Thailand has seen a fair amount of political turbulence and foreign investors have kind of stayed away, although in the last year, you know, they bought back into Thai shares. Today, though, quite surprisingly, we've seen shares jump up some 4-5%. Already you're getting an indication, I think, that with this decisive election victory, people are now starting to believe or having more confidence in Thailand for the future.
What does it mean for U.S. and Thai relations?
Well, you know, Thailand is the U.S.'s oldest Asian ally. I mean, there's a great story about how close these two countries are. In fact, Thailand famously offered to send elephants to Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War. So,
wow.
You know, that's a long, long time ago. But in the last few years, because of this political uncertainty, Thailand's been seen by the United States as a country that's going through a really tough time. Now, though, there's a feeling that if Thailand gets its act together with this new leader, if there is political stability, perhaps it can try and regain its reputation as being a bastion of democracy in Southeast Asia.
The BBC's Karishma Vaswani from Bangkok. Karishma, thank you.
No worries.
Over to Australia now, where the government wants to get rid of that country's 5-cent coin because the cost of making the coin outweighs its value. The country's already gotten rid of pennies there, 1-cent coins. Stuart Cohen reports from Sydney.
5 cent.
With smaller coins no longer used in Australia, at this busy Sydney supermarket, every purchase made with cash is rounded up or down to the nearest 5-cent increment. In other words, you win some, you lose some. Now, the proposal from Australia's Royal Mint means transactions would be rounded to the nearest 10 cents. Last time around, the government left it to businesses to decide whether to round prices up or down. But Ingrid Joost of Australia's leading consumer group Choice says this time that approach would hurt shoppers.
Look, there is potential for consumers to be on the losing end should the 5-cent coin be abolished. And that really depends upon the approach that retailers and service providers apply, whether they round up or whether they round down. I think you do tend to see historically that businesses will probably round up.
Don't expect the same thing to happen in the U.S. anytime soon. As recently as 2006, some members of Congress have proposed eliminating the penny, but consumer advocates say that will have the effect of pushing retail prices upward, and public opinion polls still show an overwhelming number of Americans want to keep the coin. In Sydney, I'm Stuart Cohen for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are higher at the moment. Asian shares were up today. Japan's Nikkei topped 10,000 for the first time in a couple months. Wall Street Friday, the Dow is up 168 points. It closed at 12,582, and for the week, the Dow gained 5%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. By Manta, connecting millions of small business owners with new customers every day. On the web at manta.com. and by Indiana University's Kelly School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
The Federal Reserve Bank of New York probably wishes today it could get a do-over on the mortgage-backed securities it bought from AIG as part of the bailout. In April, the insurance giant offered to buy them back, but the government said no, thinking it could make more money selling them on the open market. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith explains.
Back in April, when the Fed spurned AIG's offer, the market for mortgage-backed securities was hot. Prices were rising, hedge funds were snapping them up, and the Fed saw dollar signs. Dan Nigro is principal at Warfield Consultants.
The first two or three auctions went along very well, were oversubscribed, and dealers were climbing over themselves. Then the U.S. started to trail off a bit in terms of the economic numbers.
And the Fed started having trouble unloading those mortgage bonds and just announced plans to stop selling them for now. Chris Whalen heads Institutional Risk Analytics. He says back in April, the mortgage bond market was very different. It had a huge boost from the government, which was buying up billions in bonds as part of a plan to help the economy. And the housing market looked poised for a turnaround.
The Fed intervention in the market has grown less. And also, I think the news about the housing market and the actual defaults that investors are seeing on these securities are making them go down in price.
Whalen says the housing market is a long way from recovery, so the Fed may have to hold on to those billions in bonds for the foreseeable future. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Finally, an Oregon man says he spent $1 million developing a razor built for the ages. The Zafiro has sapphire blades that'll last 10 years or more and a non-corrosive body made from iridium, something found in meteors that'll withstand a lifetime of rigorous up and down motion. But before you bust out to the store to buy this special little guy, the price? $100,000. He hasn't sold one. Forget razor burn. That's sticker shock. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. Happy 4th of July. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Many chain restaurants will soon be required to post calorie counts of their menu options. But how effective is that in tackling obesity?
We don't need people to eat better in restaurants. We got to get them out of those restaurants and into their kitchens.
I'm Bob Moon. Cutting calories, does it work? Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.